I want you guys to realize, you know, something very important is that you need to follow the Holy Spirit. You know, God's with us at all times. He wants to speak to us, and we need to learn how to hear from the Holy Spirit. And when I time I minister to, whether it be for you kids or to the church as a whole, I always ask the Holy Spirit, what is it that you want me to talk about? What is it that people need to hear? Because I have no idea what they're going through. I have no idea what to do. I mean, yes, I could come up with some little fancy message. And actually tonight, I really thought this is my opportunity. Because, you know, last couple times I've ministered, half the church or more has been gone. You know, so there wasn't very many people here to hear my message to begin with. So I found out everyone's, you know, a lot of people, no more people's going to be here. So, man, you know, a while back I was going through some of my old messages and just seeing some old notes I had, and I thought, man, sometime I need to pick this out and preach on this, because this is actually pretty good, you know. So I checked with the Holy Spirit and what he wants to talk about, and he gave me one word. And then with that one word, I thought, really? What in the world am I supposed to do with that? That is definitely not what I'd be messing. That's not what I would have chosen or thought about speaking about. I mean, one thing, it's not that time of the year, but then I came in and heard you guys up here doing Christmas songs and everything, and I thought, well, maybe it is all right to talk about this. But so I have a word here, and this is the word I got from the Lord. You know what that word is? What is that word? Emmanuel. When do we hear about Emmanuel usually? When do you hear about Emmanuel? Around Christmas time, exactly. And unfortunately, that's about the only time some people ever hear about Emmanuel. I mean, if I go out on the streets with a microphone and just ran up to just about anybody and ask them, you know, have you heard, what does Emmanuel mean? I'd probably hear somebody, you know, say, well, I don't know, it has something to do with Christmas. And some might say, isn't that something to do with Jesus or something about his birth or something? I don't know. I hear it around Christmas time. And you know, even some of the Christians, you know, I might ask and they'll say, well, yeah, that's, you know, Emmanuel. And that's, you know, when the birth of Jesus, you know, part of the Christmas story. And unfortunately, in some of the churches, you know, they hear that, and that's about as far as it goes. But there's much more to this word I found out about Emmanuel. Does anybody know what that word means? God with us. That's right. God with us. And, of course, you know, it's talking about the birth of Jesus. I'll just go there. It's in Matthew, part of the story here. Let me get my glass. I look like a nerd. I got my marker and my glasses in my pocket. I just need a few more pencils in there. So, Emmanuel, you are correct, is God with us. All right. Emmanuel, God with us. That's right. God with us. Matthew 1. In verse 18 says, now the birth of Jesus Christ was on this wise, when as his mother Mary was espoused to Joseph before they came together, she was found with child of the Holy Ghost. Then Joseph, her husband, being a just man and not willing to make her a public example, was minded to put her away privately. But while he thought on these things, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take up Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is the Holy Ghost. And this she shall bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Now all this was done that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, Behold, a virgin shall be with child and shall bring forth a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which being interpreted is God with us. So, this is talking about Jesus' birth. You know, God sent his son. He chose Mary to have this child, which was conceived by the Holy Ghost, and he's going to call him Jesus, and he's going to come. This is God coming down to the earth as a man and fully God to be a sacrifice for you and I for our sins. And you know what, by the way, you know what Jesus, you know, when he was just a child, what nursery rhyme he got sang most of the time? Mary had a little lamb, little lamb, little lamb. Didn't go over real well. But he was going to be the sacrificial lamb for us. You remember that? Good job, Tayshia. I'm glad you remembered it. So this is when God physically came to earth and walked the earth. Anybody know how long Jesus was on the earth before he was crucified? How many years? 40? No, not quite.
Oh, 33.
Hey, look at you. Good job. 33. So, you know, when he was 30, he got baptized. You know, John the Baptist baptized him, and he starts his ministry. So 33 years, God physically, in the form of Jesus, the Son of God, came to this earth and walked the earth just like you and I did. And so in this story, in this part, Matthew is talking about God with us as a physical sense that God was going to be here physically with us. And unfortunately, some people just say, well, okay, that's great. Jesus was here. God was with us there. Where is he now? It's the end of the story. That's right. He is. He's with us, walking with us. Now, Jesus isn't here today, but he sent someone else to be with us and to walk with us. And that's what we're going to learn about tonight, that God is with us. He always has been with mankind. He's always going to be with us from now on. And as a believer, as a Christian, if you're born again, saved Christian, you're going to be with him for eternity. So I want to give you a little treat here and have you take your seat, but I want you to listen tonight because we're going to find out, you know, Jesus walked this earth with us. We're going to find out that he's always with us. You're welcome. So you might go back. So you might be back there drawing.
Thank you.
But I would encourage you to listen tonight. Is Mr. Gary, you had enough? Okay. So as I was saying, Lord gives me this. Sorry if I come up here. You know, pastor asked me to preach. And so, you know, I go and ask, you know, I'm trying to figure out what I want to talk about. And as I say, I go to the Holy Ghost, you know, go to the Lord and ask, you know, what he would have me minister on. And he gave me that one word, Emmanuel. And I'm thinking, wow, what am I supposed to do with that? So anyway, I'm thinking maybe I'm not hearing it right, you know. So because sometimes, you know, I don't always hear right. So, you know, when you hear something from the Lord, you know, just set it aside for a little bit and see what happens. Well, you know, the next couple of days, Emmanuel, Emmanuel. Emmanuel. I just kept hearing Emmanuel. So, okay, maybe that's it. But still, I'm not totally convinced. I go downstairs. I go down to the basement. My desk is down in the basement. So I thought, well, you know, I need to get started on this. So, you know, a couple of days later, I go down in the basement to my desk, and I go down there, and I said, now, Lord, I really think, you know, I'm hearing from you. You're saying Emmanuel, and that's what you want me to minister on. But, you know, if that's wrong, give me something else. And if that's right, please help me. I need help because I don't know what you're getting at. I don't know what you want me to say about it. So then I just started speaking in tongues. Praying in the Holy Ghost. I had my little tablet. I got a little tablet out here, and I put that down there. I'm just praying in the Holy Ghost, and it isn't too long. I'm writing something down. He's giving me. I'm writing another scripture down. He's giving me. I'm writing another scripture down. He's giving me. And he's writing down another scripture. He's giving me. And after a little bit, you know, praying in the Spirit and writing down some things, you know, I get done there. I know what he wants me to talk about. I know what he wants me. And I had to run upstairs. Deb, man, Holy Ghost is awesome. You know, I always do that. It's just like, how many times do I hear from the Lord? And every time, you know, you hear from him, I just can't, it's just amazing. You know, I just, from the very first time years ago to now, I still think, man, Holy Ghost is awesome, man. I told Deb, he wrote my sermon for me already. So this is awesome. I'm already way ahead of than I usually am because, I mean, so I was excited. And so I thought, okay, I'm on the right track here then. So if you don't like this message, don't blame me. So before we get going in to talking about, you know, if you hadn't figured out, it's Emmanuel. God is with us. But there's a few scriptures I want to lay a little foundation, a little ground here and give to you. And as you listen to this message tonight, I want you to remember these few scriptures too as we go along. And the first one's in Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. It says, I am the Lord, I change not. I am the Lord, I change not. God never changes. His word never changes. He doesn't change his mind. You know, and it's kind of hard for us to imagine such a thing because we're surrounded with change. I mean, everything's changing. Just look back to 2020, from then to now. Look how the environment, how America has changed in that just short period of time of all the things we've been going through. And as we're going through that, people are saying, well, where's God in this? Where is he? And, you know, everything changes. You know, the fads, the music, and technology. My goodness, it changes every week, I think. I mean, it's so fast technology is. I mean, good grief, if it didn't seem like it was that long ago. I was 16 driving in my car with an 8-track tape player underneath there. You know, sweet little, man, I'm cruising in my Pinto, you know, my 1971 Pinto. You know the Pintos, you know, those little cars, if you hit them in the rear end, they might blow up because of the gas tank. Man, my parents must have loved me. But that was my first car. I bought it when I was 15. Oh, I put some mag wheels on that thing. But, man, I was so proud when I got that 8-track tape player. You know, it's an under-dash mount. You probably know it. You know, 8-track tapes, you know, those cool little cartridges that got 4 tracks. You listen to a song, and it fades out. And then goes to another track. It fades up, and you hear the rest of the song. You know, fantastic 8-track tape players. But then, you know, along came cassettes and then the CDs, and now you don't even need none of that. You just got it on your phone, plug it into your thing. But, you know, things are ever changing. But God never changes. Another scripture I want to share with you to think about as we go along here is in Deuteronomy 31:6. It says, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes with you. He will never, everybody say never.
Never.
He will never leave you nor forsake you. So God's going to be with us. He's not going to change his mind, and he's not going to leave you. He's always going to be there. Another scripture is in Acts. And that's Acts 10, verse 34. So I better give you some time. So let's turn into it. I've got some of these written down. Some of them I won't get to reading myself out of the Bible here, but and this, you know, I need to slow down anyway. It's probably not a I don't know how you do that, Pastor. Maybe my ear's deformed or something. I don't know. This thing just always comes off me. But, you know, it's probably not, like I said before, this tonight's going to be a fairly simple message and probably not a real long message. But, you know, I don't believe it's got to be a long message to get the point across. Acts 10:34 says, a truth that Peter perceived is that God is no respecter of persons. God is no respecter of persons. What he did for Pastor, he can do for you. What he did for Corey, he can do for you. What he's done for me, he can do for you. What he did with Moses, he can do for you. What he did with, you name it, in the Bible, he can do for you. He's no respecter of persons. So, remember this as we go along here. God's word doesn't change. He doesn't change. He's never going to leave you. Mm-hmm. And he's not a respecter of persons. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So let's get into this. Now God, you know, we just talked about there in Matthew, and that's the, you know, story everybody knows, you know, Jesus coming to this earth, God with us, and it's definitely true. God was with us on this earth 33 years. But that's not the end of the story. And it wasn't even really the beginning of the story. God has always been with mankind from the very beginning. Clear back with in Genesis, God was with there with Adam and Eve right there in the garden. In Genesis chapter 3, now he may not have been physically walking there with them in the sense of being in a physical form, but he was there with them. Where am I going here? Genesis 3. And we're going to go to verse 8. It says, and they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where are you? Well, God knew where he was. And he said, I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, who told you that you got made? You were naked. Have you eaten the tree whereof I command you that you should not eat? And the man said, the woman! It's that woman you gave me. She gave it to the tree, and I did eat it. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what have you done? And the woman said, the serpent. It's the serpent that beguiled me. We're pointing fingers, you know. It's kind of like little kids at home, you know. I'm sure, Kate, have you ever said, you know, parents come in, who made this mess? And you said, it was Emily.
Yep.
It usually is. Yeah, and Emily's saying, it was the dogs. It was those two dogs. We're playing the blame game. But the point is, God was there in the cool of the day. He's still speaking. He created the garden. He created mankind to have fellowship with man. That was his plan from the very beginning, to have fellowship with man. But unfortunately, we know what happened. They sinned. They got sent out, and there was a separation, because sin is simply a separation from God. But he was there. I mean, why mess up such a great thing? The God, the creator of all, that's given you all this stuff and given you everything that you need, and you mess up. But isn't that us anyway? We've all been there. We've all done it. But the fact is, he was there at the very beginning with them. And he hasn't left them. He hasn't left us. Mm-hmm. He's still here. He's still with us. And he still has a plan right then and there when this happened. And we see there in Genesis, just go a little bit further, you know, after this, of course, you know, things went from bad to worse. In Genesis chapter 6, we see, and you got to think about, before we go there, you got to think, you know, how much dialogue was going on between Adam and God. I mean, God gave him a job, you know, to name all the animals and so forth. And so, you know, there had to be some kind of dialogue going on throughout this. But anyway, and we go to Noah. And of course, you know, we get there in chapter 6 and 9. It says, you know, Noah was a just man and upright in his generations, and Noah walked with God. And speaking of dialogue, you got to think, now, why did God choose Noah? Well, you know, he says he was a just man, upright. It wasn't that Noah was this master boat builder. You know, why would you even, you know, need such a boat of that magnitude in the first place, especially in the desert? And then there was no rain. So think about the dialogue they had to go through. I mean, some of you, you know, you all went to Kentucky and seen, you know, this massive ark. Think of all the directions and what God had to tell him. You know, he gave him the plans to build this massive ark and told him all these things. So they had to be walking together. They had to be with each other. You know, Amos 3:3 says, how can two walk together unless they are in agreement? And we'll come to that here a little bit later, talk more about that. But just think, you know, God definitely had to be with Noah during this time as he's building throughout these years, building this massive ark, gathering up these animals. So there's another example in the Old Testament where God had been with mankind, not physically walking with him, but he was speaking with him and telling him and talking with him. And let's go to another example here. This is in Exodus. You know, God, we know God was with Moses, quite a bit with Moses throughout the whole deal of getting the Israelites out of captivity. But let's just look at Exodus chapter 19. Let's go there. And this is the encounter up on Mount Sinai. Stick with me, because I'm actually going to come to a point here. This is all going to reach to a climax, I promise you. And some really good news. But in chapter 19, verse 18, well, actually, before we go there, before I turn the page, I see this. I'm going to share this with you. In 19:4, says, talking about getting them out of captivity, you have seen what I did unto the Egyptians and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself. No, that's God's plan from the very beginning. That's the plan of salvation right there, to bring you back to myself. Now, therefore, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Anyway, I thought I just had to share that before I go. I don't know if that goes along with it, but verse 18. And Mount Sinai was altogether on a smoke because the Lord descended upon it in fire. And the smoke thereof ascended as the smoke of a furnace, and the whole mount quaked greatly. And when the voice of the trumpet sounded long and waxed louder and louder, Moses spake, and God answered him by a voice. So he wasn't there physically. And the Lord came down upon Mount Sinai on the top of the mount, and the Lord called Moses up to the top of the mount, and Moses went up. And the Lord said unto Moses, and he went on, said this and so forth and so forth. So we see, you know, he's there on Mount Sinai, there's smoke going, big fire, and I don't know, maybe that's what some of these big churches, you know, they say, you know, when they're having their big screens, fog machines and skinny jeans, they get it from here, you know, there's smoke, you know, God, he's into this stuff. But anyway, so God's over there, and he's there, you know, we know about the burning bush. I mean, he's not physically there, but he's there with him, and he's given the Ten Commandments. He ends up giving the Ten Commandments to Moses, and so God was with Moses multiple times. We could go many times through here and see how God was with Moses. And then he's going to get a Joshua is going to take over for Moses there. And speaking of that, he's no respecter of persons. You know, in Joshua 1:5, he says to Joshua, says, I will be with you as I was with Moses. So just like he was with Moses, he was on with Joshua, and we could go on through here and see how he was with Joshua all those days. But that's not the important thing. I want to keep on going, if that's all right. In Psalms, you know, David had a lot of confidence in God, and he knew that God was there with him through all the trials and all the things that he went through. There in Psalms 23, something we're all familiar with, which most a lot of these things you guys should be familiar with. Probably nothing new, but like I said, it's a pretty simple message tonight. But I think it's something that we need to be mindful of. Obviously, the Holy Spirit thought it was supposed to be mindful of it. Like I said, this was not my idea. Psalms 23 says, Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and thy staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David knew that through the highs and the lows, God was with him. He knew that no matter what was coming his way, that God was with him. He knew that he didn't have to have any fear because he was there to comfort him. He knew that God was with him. He knew at the very end it didn't matter. He was going to always be with him when he passed on. He said, I'm going to be in the house of the Lord forever. He was going to be with God forever. He was with him then, and he knew he's going to be with him always. So there's a few examples in the Old Testament of just seeing how God was with people from the very beginning. Now, God only spoke, you know, to certain people. We see it through the Old Testament or through different individuals, spoke to them and through them. And a lot of times it was through prophets and priests, and they spoke to the people the word of the Lord. But, you know, in the beginning, as we saw, he spoke to everyone. Because everyone was Adam and Eve, right? But what happened? Sin came in. Disobedience came in. Sin came in. And so he was separated from that. So it came to the point that God only spoke to certain individuals. And we see, you know, certain people like Noah and them were just and upright. And he used them. But I think a good place that kind of explains what went on is in 2 Corinthians. As I say, sin came in. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. It's not talking about this in particular, but I think it gives some insight to it. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse
4. You're a little patience tonight, aren't you?
Just a little patience. Just a little patience. Oh, no. Sorry. I used to be a Guns N' Roses fan. Where was it? Second Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14. Says, be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Baal? Or what part has he that believes with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? There's that agreement part again. For you are the temple of the living God, as God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Two parts here. It's like, what does righteousness have to do with unrighteousness? How can God speak to those people that are in their sin? How can those people that are in their sin hear from God? God is trying to, you know, even today, people, we call them sinners or whatever out there, but God is trying to, he's pursuing us all. He's pursuing us, but we just don't hear him, especially those that aren't born again, don't have the Spirit within them to hear from him, but he's still pursuing them. I'm sure he's still wanting to talk to them and speak to them. They just don't hear. Mm-hmm. But thank God, as you look over to the page over there in 5:21, for he has made him to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. In Christ. And if you're a born again believer, he is in you. It says there in 1 Colossians 1:27. Colossians 1:27 said, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. 1 John 4:4 says, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So Christ is in you. He's with you if you're a born-again believer. Let's look at John 16:7. You know, thank God for Jesus as he walked this earth. But you know, Jesus, he couldn't be with everybody at one time, could he? I mean, he had his disciples with him. He's out with the multitudes times and times, but he couldn't be with everyone. But thank God for Jesus and his resurrection, that he made it possible. Said, go to John chapter 16. And here's the good news. Now, I know we're familiar with this. It's to put you in remembrance. I guess if this message isn't doing anything for you tonight, this is something you can share with others. Maybe it'll help them. Chapter 14:16 says, I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not, everybody say, I will not, leave you comfortless.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
So now the Spirit of God is with us. The Holy Spirit is with us. Now every time where you go, he goes. He's with each and every one of us because we now have the Holy Spirit. It's like, oh, this is good. You know, the other day I was throwing it on there, looking at YouTube, and fortunately I just landed across Jesse Duplantis on talking about his trip to heaven. And I tell you a funny story about that. When I was just a new believer or just going to a church, it was a Rhema pastor. It's church Deb was going to before when we met. Thank God for Deb.
Amen.
Because I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for her. Probably wouldn't be a born-again believer and Christian if it wasn't for her. But anyway, we go in this church, and one of the first things we go to, I think it was like a Wednesday night. It was a night service. It wasn't a Sunday service. They're showing this video of Jesse Duplantis on his talking about going to heaven. Well, for me, I'm thinking, yeah, I'm not so sure about this stuff. This guy might be a little bit off his rocker. And to tell you, see, Jesse and what I saw the other night, it was good to see it again, about this, he didn't share it a whole lot. Now, he didn't want to share it all because he thought people like me, you know, thinking this guy is nuts, and probably even people in the ministry might, you know, he could have lost his whole ministry over this because people might think he's just a little bit wacky. But anyway, I come to find out, you know, Jesse was very sound in the Word, and actually when I got off and backslid, it was Jesse who brought me back to the Lord. As a matter of fact, I was up and saw him in person, and he made an altar call, and I went up to the stage to be prayed for, and he said a general prayer over all of us, and he's standing up there. He looked down straight at me. I had my long hair, looked longer than pastors probably at the time, had my full beard, and he looked and pointed right at me, and he goes, now that wasn't so hard, now was it? So thank God for Jesse. But anyway, he's talking about his story and about going up there to heaven. And he's talking about how, you know, seeing the throne of God and Jesus, you know, would come out. And so he had this guide with him, and I don't remember who it all was or whatever. But he goes, and I asked the dumbest question that anybody would ever ask. He says, and I knew it, but it just came out. I don't know why I asked it. It was the dumbest thing to ask. I said, well, it's God and Jesus. Where's the Holy Spirit? And he said, on earth. Of course, the Holy Spirit's on earth. The Holy Spirit wasn't up in heaven. And the Holy Spirit is here right with us. He's with us. Let's just go over in John. Just look over. Well, I guess we already covered. 16:7 says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. This is Jesus speaking. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And then verse 13 says, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Glory to God. And let's go back here and share this, verse 14, verse 26. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, just because if you don't get it yet, the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, who the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I say unto you. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Like I say, I'm always amazed. And I can get excited that he'll bring things to my remembrance. And a lot of things that he'll bring to your remembrance, just like he did me preparing for this, is the Word. He'll bring you back to the Word and show you the Word. But he'll also give you rhema words for your individual lives. He'll show you, he'll give you direction of where you should do and what you should do. And he'll give you wake-up calls every once in a while too. But he's with us right now. We don't have to conjure up anything to ask him. And we're all guilty of him. You know, you see it, and we've done it up here. You know, oh, Holy Spirit, we invite you to here tonight. Well, he's already here. Mm-hmm. He's with us wherever we go, all the time. You know, I just shared Psalms, you know, just a moment ago. And, you know, oh, Lord, we've walked through the valley, shadow of death. You know, you hear that at funerals all the time, don't you? Well, I did a funeral here just back in August. Went down to Missouri and did my uncle's funeral. And after the gravesite, after, you know, we had the funeral, went out to the gravesite and did the gravesite service there. And the funeral director came up to me right afterwards, and he goes, "Man," says, "I just got to say, I just loved the terminology that you used about the Holy Spirit." And he goes, "You know, I said stuff like, 'Thank you, Lord, for your abiding presence. We thank you for the Holy Spirit, your abiding presence. You're here right now comforting us,' and, you know, things along that line." And he goes, "You know, most pastors, they'll get up there and they'll pray that the Holy Spirit will come or will be with us in the days, you know, and pray for him to come." And he goes, "But you're right. He's here. He's always here. He's always with us." And he says, "I just like the way you presented that we just recognize that he's here and that he's here to comfort us in our times of need." And so we need to remember that. So I get all this from the Lord and to share. And I was thinking, well, you know, this is good. We need to be reminded that you're with us and you're always here with us. And we can come to you in times of need or just, you know, when we were going through things. Because there's a lot of people, like I say, the change is going on. They're wondering, where is God? Well, he's right here. And I'm asking God to say, okay, is this all you want me to tell him? You know, is that God's with you? They're with you. He's with you guys. And then he comes up with this. He goes, "Ask him this. Are they with me?" I'm with them. Always have been. Always will be. I'm right there. But are they with me? And you think, well, why isn't he? And you just said he's in me. He's with me all the time. Well, of course I'm with him. It's kind of like, you know, me and Deb, we're married. We've been with each other for lots of years. When I'm not at work, we're at home, we're with each other all the time. I could tell you all of things that Deb enjoys, that her likes and her dislikes. And I can tell you her flaws. I can tell you what she looks like in the morning without makeup. She can tell you all of my flaws and all of my things I enjoy to do and my favorite foods and pretty much anything that you want to know about me, she knows. And I know about her. We're with each other all the time because we have a relationship. We could be together in the house. I could be in one living room and she could be in the other living room. Well, we're with each other in the house, but if we're not having dialogue, communicating, fellowshipping with each other. We could be together for years in separate rooms in the same house. And people will think, well, you're with each other, but we're apart because we're not having any fellowship. And I think that's what God's trying to say. It's all about a relationship with Him. He's there. Are we spending time with Him? Are we recognizing that He's there with us? Now, if Jesus was walking with us, if Jesus was right here right now, or Jesus was at your house, say tomorrow Jesus shows up at your house, and He's going to go with you and be with you wherever you go and whatever you do, how would you act? How would you act around your coworkers? How would you act when you're alone or think you're alone? He's always with us. Are we acknowledging His presence? Sober in thought, but finally when He said that, I said, oh, I get it. I mean, we all know God's with us. I mean, we always think we know He's with us, but do we really know He's with us at all times? He's always there. And when He said that, He brought that scripture again, Amos 3:3. Can two walk together except they be agreed? You know, it said Noah, you know, it said he was right upright and he walked with God. There was another guy, Enoch. Said that he walked with God, and he was not, for the God took him. He translated him. He didn't see death. He took Enoch alive straight to heaven. And you think, wow. What kind of relationship did they have? God must have, hey, buddy, you need to get up here right now with me. What a translation, you know. I'm going to share this. Some of you have heard this. Some of you probably haven't. I haven't shared it for a long time. But I had a little experience. And like I said, God sometimes used the Holy Spirit to correct you too. But this is my translation story. I was going down to Missouri. It was the dead of winter. Headed down to Missouri like I had been for, had many, many a times. My parents were still alive down there. And went down there fairly often. And I always went the same dirt way. Go down 65 highway, stay on 65 highway, all the way down there. Always. Never took a different path. So anyway, I'm going down there. And while I'm going down there, I'm actually listening to a Brother Hagin CD. And I'd been listening to that, and I'm just praying in the Spirit, and I'm going along. And before too long, I don't know, I just kind of came to myself and I'm looking around and I'm thinking, where in the world am I? I didn't recognize anything. I'm looking and looking around. And it was beautiful where I was at, just the countryside. And like I say, it was dead winter, snow was on it. It was so clean and it was beautiful, you know. But I had no idea where in the world I was at. It's like, I haven't been here before. How did I get here? And then I'm thinking, did I go through Indianola? And I don't even remember. I was thinking, how did I get here? And then the Holy Spirit started speaking to me. Well, He's speaking to me, and I had to pull over. I pull over because He's talking to me, and I want to get this down. So I get out of my, I find a piece of paper and a pen in my truck there, and I start writing down what He's saying. I still have that piece of paper. And one of my, well, it's my old, it's an old Bible that I have that's all torn up and worn out and pieces and that. It was actually the Bible I used while I was down there in Ramah. But I still have that in there somewhere. And the gist of it was, like I say, He'll correct you sometimes. He'll get you back on the right track. He said, for the most part, seek me first, as Adrian's talking about. Seek me. Stop doing things your own way. But press into me. I will take you places you've never been before, show you things you've never seen. Just spend time, more time with me. And I thought, man, he just took me a place that I've never seen before. I don't know where in the world I'm at. No, he didn't translate me there. My truck didn't just go there. I don't know. I must have been distracted, like he was telling me. Quit being distracted. Spend time. Spend more time with me. Know that I'm there with you to lead you and guide you and show you where you need to be. Well, I didn't know where I was at. I thought, well, I'll just keep on driving straight. I got to find somewhere. I think I'm headed south, so Missouri's got to be down there somewhere. So I kept going, finally figured out, you know, how to get back on the 65 highway. But God is with us. Are we with him?
Yes.
And then he brought this to me too. You know, Amos, how can two walk together if they're not in agreement? Are we interested in what God's interested in? What is the number one thing God is interested in? If you don't know, John 3:16 is a pretty good place to see it. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. He didn't send the Son into the world to condemn it, but that through him they might be saved. God's number one interest is the lost. What are we doing about that? Matthew 9:37 says the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. God will be with you if you go up to somebody and minister to them. He'll give you the words. He'll be with you. And I'm guilty. Guilty, guilty, guilty. Matter of fact, when he brought that up to me, I had a passion for the lost in the nursing homes. Before I went to Ramah, I did nursing home ministry with the church I was with at the time over in Nevada. And we'd go to the nursing home, minister to them. And when I went down to Ramah to Bible College, that's one of the things, one of the many things I did as far as volunteering was nursing home ministry. Well, they have a hard time getting people to do nursing home ministry. Mm-hmm. People think, why do I want to go to these old folks' home? And heck, a lot of them, half of them lost their minds and not going to get anything out of it to begin with. No. The word can penetrate. Mm-hmm. I had such joy ministering to these old people. I mean, where else? People are there preparing to die. You may be their last hope. I thought, what an honor. What an important ministry to minister to these people. And there's one, I'll just share one of them with you. Well, maybe two of them. Because it's just so awesome, I think. And show you the importance of it. There's one lady they bring down. This is when I was doing ministry down there in Raymond. There's another gal they bring wheel down there. And we had a little team. It wasn't just me. We had a team. We had a gal she'd play, and when she was with us, she'd play the piano. And we'd sing old gospel songs mostly, you know, old songs to them. Well, I didn't say I would sing. I would make a joyful noise because I can't sing very well. Or maybe not at all. But anyway, we had people that could. And so we'd sing tunes, and then one of us would give a message. And then after the message, we'd go around and we'd pray for them. They had something to pray for. Well, they bring down this one lady. This one lady, she'd just be a screaming and, oh, you know, just, she seemed like she was in agony a lot of the time. And anyway, I'd go back to her, you know, afterwards and pray for her and ask, you know, she would like to accept the Lord. And And, oh, no, 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 I can't do that. I can't do that. No, no. So, yeah, you could. God, you know, God's here with you. He wants you. And she'd always just, no, 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 I just can't. I just can't. So, okay, well, I'll just pray for you. And, you know, I'd say a general prayer and pray for her. Finally, though, I kept at her. I'd go back here. One day, I went back here to her, and she said the prayer. I got her she accepted Jesus. And that's the last time I seen her. God is good. Had another guy. He was guy. He was on a ventilator, oxygen he'd take, and so we pray for his healing. He'd be so excited the next week. He comes and says, you know what? So I'm not on my oxygen as much. I'm only on such and such many hours. And so then next, I said, well, you know, sometimes, you know, God heals us immediately. But sometimes, you know, as we go, we get healed. So just keep in faith. Keep believing that you're going to get off that. So next time I've come there, and, oh, he's coming up. He's excited. I said, boy, you can't believe I'm only on, you know, a couple hours a day now or whatever. And finally, he got off that. Praise God, you know. So, you know, nursing home ministry and the Lord, you know, like I said, I've thought about it. That's one thing I was going to do as soon as I got back here in Iowa. That's one thing I was going to do, and I haven't done it yet. So I'm going to be working on it, and maybe I can get out there and minister to these people again sometime here. But are we interested in what he is? Are we interested in the lost? Because that's his number one interest. Mm-hmm. So, leave you with that question. God is with you. Are you with him? Mm-hmm. Are we acknowledging it? Because he's always with us. He's always there in our ups and our downs, through our valleys, our highs and our lows. Thank God for him. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Do we have God's heart? Well, I think that's before I cry some more. You know, I just can't help. You know, sometimes I just get up here. I just get thinking about the goodness of God, and it just gets me emotional. I mean, how good he is. Yes. I mean, I just can't help it. I mean, it's not tears of sadness. It's just overwhelming of his goodness. And just like Pastor shared, you know, last week, you know, I take ministering to people, to your kids, and when I minister the word of God, I take it very serious. It's not a play game. I know I come up, and sometimes that bothers me, because I think, you know, especially with kids, you know, I come up, and I do a lot of joking, and I do a lot of acting, I mean, because I do characters, and I think, oh man, Lord, you know, I don't want to take away from the message, but I get it, you know. I want to make it fun for the kids, mm-hmm. and that, and I want them to enjoy it. As a matter of fact, I had a request before I got up here from one of the little kids back there. They sure like to see Dr. Dan, so and Dr. Dan's going to be coming back. But you know, I take it serious because I'm going to be held accountable, and you know, if I say anything wrong, I hope it just falls off, because, you know, as I've always said, and I used to teach a class, you know, for church back in the day we had, and new believers, or kind of a Bible study thing, and first thing I told them, I said, I don't know everything, but if I don't know it, we'll look in the Word, and we'll try to find it, If I don't know it, I'll go to the pastor and see if the two of us can't get you an answer. But if I just don't know it and we can't do it, I'll just tell you, I just don't know. And I had some people tell me, and said, man, as soon as I heard that from your mouth, I was going to listen to everything you said. Because some people just try to tell you whatever. So, praise God. And as far as last week, thank you for the kind words. And I got some gifts myself. So, praise God. I don't feel deserving really of it, but all glory to God. Amen. So, Pastor, you want to turn it over to you?
I just want to make a couple announcements really quick. I don't want to too much, but thanks, Gary.